Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call, Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We're here every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock on WCOM-FM. And our guest today is, I would say, a dear friend that we've known for many years and are in solidarity with, and it's Reverend Robert Campbell, here representing Sear, the Rogers, Eubanks.
The Coalition to End Environmental Racism and RENA, the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Chapel Hill and Carborough.
This has been such, we've had Reverend Campbell on several times before, because this is an ever-evolving situation to get justice for the Rogers Road Eubanks community, and we're talking about them having a landfill in their community for 37 years now. And that it was when it was put in and the community agreed to accept it, it was supposed to be 10 years. So promises have been made and broken over these many years. And Reverend Campbell has been in the forefront of struggling for some kind of fairness for the people who've been impacted so severely by this landfill. So Reverend Campbell, I'm glad you're here. And we're going to get an update, because since it evolves so much, it's hard to keep up sometimes with exactly what's happening now. So let us know, like, go back from the past year or so. There's been quite a bit, you know, just give us a little update here of the struggle.
Well, last year we were still pushing for no waste transfer station in the community.
Yeah.
And through our efforts and through the engagement of the resident of Orange County and some people outside Orange County, we were able to help the Orange County Board of Commissioners and the municipality to change their mind about a waste transfer station in the Rogers Road neighborhood. But we were still concerned about the quality of our drinking water. And so we began to do our own community research, water testing training through the University School of Public Health and the Student Division of Engineer Without Borders. We trained the resident how to collect, package, and ship water to testing labs to try to help move forward a community block grant funding for infrastructure. Unfortunately, our results showed that there was widespread contamination within the well water and the surface water. But because the county did not have enough information to go along with a grant application, and unfortunately, because we didn't have an engineer or a staff person from the county with us when we did our water sampling and testing, that they could not use our information for a grant application. So we pushed forward, partnered with the Orange County Health Department, and through their staff, we did another water test.
Mm.
And the results came out showing that there was still a widespread contamination. We also did a septic assessment to see whether they were functioning, malfunctioning, or whether they could be repaired to bring them up to compliance. So now we are at a point now where homes have been identified and fund sources have been identified to connect at least three of the most contaminated wells to our public drinking water.
Mm. And what's made this such a struggle is that water had been brought out very close to your community to a new development, had it not?
Yes, it has. We can remember that in 2001, they did run the main ladder lines for water. But some of the homes were so far from the main line that it cost so much money. And then with the formula that they were using, some folks, even though they made $50 too much, they was not able to afford to connect onto the water lines.
So they were just like a little bit over the income level where they could give them financial help to connect them. And that is so frustrating.
Yes, it is. To be able to walk out your door and see water lines, and yet and still you're thinking that your water is contaminated, but there's supposed to be fresh water running down the street and you can't connect onto it.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, actually. It's scary when you've been living for years with this increasingly huge landfill and knowing all the leaching that goes down into the ground from all of that. Tell our listeners a little bit about what some of those contaminants were that were found in yours or even the second testing by the county, because that's scary stuff.
Well, one of them is MTBE, is an additive that they put in gasoline to help gas burn cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is fecal cola matter. It's an indicator that there is some contaminants in the water. The one thing that we want to let the public know is that we wasn't trying to put blame on the landfill,
mm-hmm.
but what we wanted to show was that the water was out of compliance with the EPA and the state regulation standards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And through our tester, we was able to prove that there are different types of contaminants. Even the test that the health department did
mm-hmm.
showed that there are more contaminants in the water than what our test showed. They were able to identify what those traces was. And
because they had the money to give more, that you had to pay so much for the tests that you did and you couldn't afford to do some further tests, and they were able to do that. So it showed up even more contaminants than you were able to show.
Yes, yes, which was a good thing.
Yeah, it was a very good thing.
Was able to move the decision about tapping on residents to the water lines that run along Rogers Road.
Yeah. So you were able to prove, and you were not wanting to do this in a blame manner, although certainly the proximity to the landfill,
oh, yes.
I would say, was a major factor. But you want to move forward and just say, this is the situation. These are people living in this progressive community right near a water line who have contaminants, and what can we do about it? So what is being done about it?
Well, right now, funds have been identified through the Bernard Allen Foundation, which is going to help connect up three homes to the water lines. And we're also in the process of moving forward with the Orange County Community Development Department to apply for another CBDG funding application to get funds to even bring more infrastructure into the community.
So I had never heard of this Bernard Allen Foundation. Did you tell me that was just a foundation in this state?
Yes, it's in the state of North Carolina. They look at situation that deal with the quality of health, and they make some funds available for infrastructure.
Well, that's wonderful. So the three homes that are the worst contaminated, they will fund getting them connected. But how many homes does that leave that really still need to be connected?
There are still about 20, I think, altogether, I think there are about 21 more houses that need to be connected.
21.
Yes.
And the town, I had thought that their promises had been made to connect you all years ago by the town. I'm not here to do blame either, Reverend Campbell, but I'm just trying to get a real sense of the situation. What weren't promises made?
Promises were made. Promise was not kept.
Okay.
The only promise that was kept was the promise from the resident to allow a landfill to be put in the community.
Mm.
Beyond that, everything else had been denied.
So you kept your part of the bargain, and way, way beyond. It is about 37 years, right?
Well, now we're going into about 39.
Okay, 39 years. So 10 from 39 is 29 years beyond what you all had agreed to have it for 10 years and then have a park. Because I think some of our listeners may not be aware as much as we are of the situation and why it is so heartbreaking and why it is such a question of justice. Because, you know, Chapel Hill does pride itself on being a progressive community, but sometimes it's more progressive in some areas than others. And this community that has suffered has been predominantly African American. And it must be galling to see a fancy development come very close by and get all of that infrastructure, and you're all still there with contaminated water. Yeah. I mean, is that a fair way to put it?
That's that you put it in a good way.
Trying to be fair here. But so the town still is not saying it will fund it, but that there isn't the Orange County Development Commission, is that connected with the town?
The
county, I guess.
It's the Orange County Community and Home community. Development is going to put in an application to get community block grant funding.
Okay.
To help with the infrastructure.
And how promising does that look?
It looked good now that we have information through the health department to go along with the application, showing that the percentage of out-of-compliance well and septic tanks exceeds some of the standard for the state of North Carolina.
So the residents are really in danger with their health. Has there been any are people noticing some health problems from this contaminated water? Are people like bringing in bottles of drinking water themselves, or?
Well, we still have a lot of residents that do not drink or use the well water for cooking.
Yeah.
Still buying bottled water. As far as health assessment, that is one of the things that we would love to see done in the Rogers Road neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of a kidney failure in the community.
Kidney failure.
Oh my
gosh.
We had a large amount of cancer cases, but we're not being able to say exactly, you know, where it's coming from or what is causing this.
Yeah.
But we do know that some of the residents, their doctor had recommended that they do not drink the water or use the water. As we said before, one family had had three different wells dug in three different locations, and each time the well water was contaminated.
Oh, my gosh. Reverend Campbell, you know, this all, you know, just is so sad that this is dragged on this long, but the light at the end of the tunnel is that finally some things are being done that does give some hope. I just want to, I think I neglected to mention that our faithful engineer, Dick Paddock, is here, and Dick, I just want to invite you to join in this conversation when you feel a need to. We're taking a station break. This is WILP's Wake Up Call, and it's hard to hear that P for peace. WILP is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We are underwritten by the Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. And you can get information online at internationalistbooks.org. So that's pretty easy to remember. This is a small community volunteer-run bookstore that has a lot of political and culture books that you are not going to find in the big box bookstores. So I encourage you to go and check it out. It's also a community resource center. They have information about a lot of progressive happenings, poetry readings, activists coming back from places like Venezuela or Mexico and giving a report on what they saw. So it's really worth stopping in and seeing what's going on there. You can get us, if you're having trouble with your signal, this is a low-power station, WCOM-FM. You can stream us live, and if you know anybody who you've told about this station, and I hope our program, you can let them know that they can stream us live at WCOM-FM.org. Again, it's pretty easy to remember. And I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the program, always have your pencil and or pen and paper ready when our program comes on, because we always try to give you some ways to get deeper and more information about whatever issue we're talking about. The other thing that you can do, all of our programs are pretty pertinent over a period of time. They're not just something that happened today. They are pretty important issues that are worth going back to some of our previous shows. You can go to trianglewilp.org, and you can link to all of our radio shows. This one will be on in the next week or two. The other thing I wanted to mention, it is Wilp's 75th birthday. We started here in 1935, so we are very proud, this local branch, 75 years. We are also a national and international organization, and that was started by Jane Addams, the famous activist from the early part of this century, in 1915. So we've been struggling for justice and peace for a long time, and the struggle goes on. Our guest today is somebody who's been engaged in the struggle for justice for many years, Reverend Robert Campbell. Reverend Campbell, again, welcome to our program. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about how you got involved, a little bit about yourself. If I remember, you're a veteran.
Yes.
And you live in the community. Tell us a little bit about you and what got you so motivated to put so much energy into what you're doing.
The community in which I live has such natural beauty. On any given day, you can find bikers using the scenery and just walking through the woods. You can see nature itself, but we began to see the nature of our environment changing.
Mm-hmm.
The crystal clear water that we used to see in the springs and the tributary that ran through our community began to change.
Mm.
The air quality began to change. And we began to ask questions, how did this affect our quality of health?
Well, you started, I'm just going to go back, you've been in that community for how many years?
I've been in the community now ever since 1973.
Okay.
But it was a community in which I was very familiar with.
Okay.
There used to be a church out there on Eubanks Road called Nun Chapel, named after one of the nuns that lived out there.
Yeah.
Used to be an associate pastor at the Church of God here on Main Street in Carver. That's where we used to go and have our Easter egg hunts and have our social outings. And some of my classmates grew up out there, and their family are still out there. So it was a place that we, as we used to say, we used to hang out at.
Uh-huh.
And we just adored the nature that was in that community. And so we were concerned about the quality of life and health in the community. Not only was the water changing, the air quality was changing. So we got more concerned about it, and we began to do a little research and ask questions and began to demand some of the things that were promised us before they put the landfill out there.
Mm-hmm. So so you grew up in Chapel Hill, but you had friends out there and, as you said, hung out there and were a witness to these gradual changes coming about in what had been and still is in many ways a beautiful community.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you were a veteran?
Yes, I served in the Vietnam campaign.
A Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you very much. Glad to do our part, you know.
Yeah. So you have roots in this community that go back to your childhood, and you've lived there since 73. And when did you get engaged in your activism and your struggle to get some help for this community?
1973.
when you moved out there.
In 1973, I remember the winter of 73 was so bad that the dirt road that you just couldn't drive down the dirt road. Roger Road was a dirt road.
Oh.
And you had to sometimes park on the main road just to be able to travel. So
was it so much snow or was it so much rain?
So much rain and a combination of rain and snow. The road just turned into a mud trap.
Wow.
It got its name even in the summertime. That was the area that we named the Baja because it was so rugged. It would tear a car all to pieces if you didn't know how to drive down Rogers Road and Eubanks Road. So, you know, even with all that, it was still a great neighborhood in which to live.
And you have a family?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I have my lovely wife, Patricia Rome Campbell, and a lovely daughter, Robin Sierra Campbell. I have family all over Chapel Hill. Matter of fact, my grandfather, Mr. John Campbell, he was a contractor here in Orange County. He helped build some of the rock walls down there at the university.
Oh, he
some of the
beautiful
some
wall.
Of the buildings. Yeah. You know, so it's we go back with a lot of connection in within the county itself.
Yeah, and with the town and the university, and so you had strong roots. So you started when you moved out there, trying to get information and see what could be done to halt the degradation that was occurring with the air and the quality of life there. So you have, you're quite an organizer. I mean, you have been working, and you work, and at the same time, you're still working full time, right?
Yeah, that is true. Matter of fact, I was given the helm of the Neighborhood Association from Mr. David Caldwell Jr. He became so active as a deputy sheriff that he just didn't have a lot of quality time to devote to the organization, but he was always there in support.
Uh-huh.
But now that he retired, he have hit the ground running.
Wow.
He's always on a mission for the association. He's out speaking about the issue. He's out doing presentations. And so he's actually became the appointed community project administrator.
Well, that is wonderful that you're getting this kind of backup from other people in the community, because you have been quite a spokesman for your community. And I know you're modest, but I'd like you to mention about you being invited to Washington. I think that certainly got the attention of the town officials when here's somebody they've been struggling, you know, you've been in a struggle with them, I'll put it that way. So you got invited to Washington.
Yes, it was a combination of all the organizations that have been working with the Rogers Eubanks neighborhood. The work that we had done caught the attention of the Environmental Protection Agency, and through that we was invited to one of the summit at the White House to speaking about energy, climate, and climate change and sustainable communities.
Wow.
And so, you know, it was a high point for the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. And we could not have been there if it not had been for all the support from the different organizations here in Orange County. Those that are environmental conscious of what is going on around us.
So that is such an important point. You know, people can't be a lone ranger. You've been out there and getting the word out and getting more and more community organizations supporting this struggle for the Rogers Eubanks Road community. And that's so important in organizing, you know, to get people realizing, get more and more people involved. And that's the best way to get the attention. I've gone to some of the meetings with the commissioners or the town, and they'll be hundreds or many, many, many people, standing room only, in support of your struggle, which I think has really helped a lot.
It has.
Yeah.
And we're going to give them another opportunity. This coming Saturday, we actually have already broke ground on our community garden. And we want those that are willing and able to come out And Ed, there's a labor with us. This garden, we are looking at it as a engagement, social engagement tool. Some of us are even talking about calling it the community garden of unity.
That's beautiful.
We want to engage the public to get them to work together, socialize together, and what better way to do it than grow your own crop?
So this is, I think, such a creative idea. You know, sometimes we can get bogged down with the problems, but what I so admire about you, Reverend Campbell, is that you and your organization, you keep such a positive attitude. You keep the struggle going, but you move forward, and that's such a creative way to try to bring, because the community is evolving and changing. There's going to be a whole new community there, a habitat community, Phoenix Place.
Yes, the demographic and culturally and ethnic background is slowly changing. But we want to engage the new residents to be a part of the old residents.
Yes.
If we can grow a garden together, we can live socially together, and our children can interact with each other, and they can learn how to move forward, even when they are in the community or even in school.
Yeah, so that they get to have that face-to-face contact so that they are comfortable being with each other and speaking to each other. That is wonderful. I want to come out and see this garden, and you know, and I hope some of our listeners do that. I'm so pleased that there's going to be such a positive thing, and this whole thing with gardening is, I was telling you earlier, reminds me when I was a child in the Second World War, everybody had a victory garden, and now it seems that people are making community gardens. They're recognizing there's one down North Greensboro Street, there's the Hope Gardens that the students started with the homeless up at the top of Homestead Road. And now you're doing this community garden. I applaud you for that. That's just lovely.
Can you give us directions how to get there?
Yeah.
Yes, it is off at Homestead Road. If you come up Martin Luther King Boulevard and turn left at the light at Homestead and Martin Luther King Boulevard, go about 3/4 mile down Homestead Road, and on your right, turn onto Rogers Road.
Okay.
3/4 mile down Rogers Road, you turn right onto Purport Drive.
Pure Ford Drive.
From 9 to 5, we'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Don't be left behind. We'll be there from 9 to 5.
Wow, that sounds like a really wonderful thing to do on a spring day. Reverend Campbell, do you have some other way for people to contact you about your struggle, the Rena Sear Group, or some contact way?
Yeah, we have a blog. It's www.rogersroad.wordpress.com.
I just looked down at my sheet here, and I have that from the last time you were here. So let me just repeat that for our listeners. Have your pencil ready, because this is one of the really important, long-time struggle for this community, and they're seeing some progress, but we're not all the way there yet. It's www.rogersroad.wordpress.com. And that's a way to find out more and to see how you can help if there's going to be town council meeting or a commissioner's meeting coming up where we need a lot of people. Okay, we're going to be ending up here. Reverend Campbell, thank you so much for coming. It's always a delight to see you.
Thank you for having us here.
If one last word, if we missed anything?
The only thing that I will talk about is our community center that we are trying to put together. We have a house out there that one of the residents is willing to rent to us, that we're going to turn it into a learning resource environmental training center and have a summer camp this summer.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, our time is up. You're gonna have to come back when that center's going and tell us more about it, and bring David Caldwell.
Will do.
With you. Okay, this is WCOM FM.
WCOM LP.
LP. Thank
you. Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and it's Wilp's Wake Up Call, and we'll see you next Friday. Week.